Our speaker today is Dr. Jerry Lawrence. She has 20-plus years of experience developing and overseeing children's ministries in small, medium, and large churches. Jerry earned her master's degree and her doctor's degree here at Dallas Theological Seminary, where she teaches children's ministry courses as an adjunct professor. On Sundays, you'll find Jerry in the preschool area at her church, welcoming and interacting with children and their families. She also loves spending time with her 12 nieces and nephews and 7 great nieces and nephews any chance she can. We have 2 special guests here today. Charlene, would you stand? Are you here yet? Yes. Well, if you would stand, and that's great. And Judy also. Would you stand, please? I'll just embarrass the heck out of you. Charlene is Jerry's mom. She is also a graduate of the seminary. And they graduated together the first time around. Isn't that cool? And then Judy is Jerry's sister, and I think that's great. You know, all this stuff that I read about Jerry is wonderful, but let me give you what I think is the best compliment she could receive. When my grandkids were here last semester and running around like screaming Indians, Jerry watched them for a little while. And my 6-year-old grandson, they were running over to her office, and he said, "Boy, I sure like her. She's got a lot of kid left in her," which I thought was great. So would you welcome with me Dr. Jerry Lawrence?
Thank you so much. I hope you're enjoying your summer so far. I know you guys are in summer school, but maybe you're also finding some fun things to do along the way. I grew up here in Dallas, and one of the highlights of our summer was going to Six Flags Amusement Park. And we would go on the rides. We would start out by going on the smaller, slower rides, but what we were most excited for was the faster roller coasters. And if you are familiar with that, there's usually some kind of a sign. Do you know what these signs mean? Usually for a kid, and especially for one like me who is vertically challenged. I'm going to actually get this out of the way because I can't see you. So these signs were a dread to me because I wanted to go on those rides. I wanted to ride the roller coasters, but I was not tall enough in a lot of cases. And who wants to sit on the sidelines while your siblings go and ride the ride without you? So as a child, I wished and wished for no height restrictions. Today, we're going to look at a familiar passage, and my hope is that we look at it with fresh eyes. Our passage today is Ephesians 4, verses 7 and 11 to 16. And I want us to read this together. "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up till we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So right away in verse 7, we see that each one is given a special grace or enablement. And I would say at the point of salvation, each one of us is given spiritual gifts. We see that in Scripture. And my main thing is that that also includes children, that they are given spiritual gifts at the point of salvation, no matter what their age. So my question to you is, how are we helping our children to manage their spiritual gifts? Maybe you've never thought of that. I would admit that as a children's director and one who loves and works with children for many years, there was quite a while that I did not think of passages like this in relation to children. I would envision what we've just read, working together, the body of Christ. I would envision adults, right? You see that naturally. But I want us to look at this, and I did this myself. So like the height restriction on the rides on the roller coasters, I was unintentionally giving an age restriction to children and not allowing them to serve in their spiritual gifts. So I want us to consider children as we look at this passage. Verse 11 mentions just a few of the gifts, and I want to focus in on pastors and teachers. We don't have time to go into everything, but I figured many of you are going to be pastors and teachers, or you already are. So let's think about this from that focus. And here in this passage, we see that you are to prepare God's people for works of service, meaning that you're not supposed to do the work yourselves for them, but you're to prepare them to do the work that God has gifted them to do. And the result is that when we as a body of Christ work together and exercise our gifts, the church is built up and becomes mature. Now, how do children fit into this teaching and training process? I want to give you three suggestions. The first one is to teach about spiritual gifts. You have to teach them about spiritual gifts. So just as adults need to be taught, our children also need to be taught about spiritual gifts and what that means and what they all are and all of that. And they need to see that that we need to, for all of us, need to be working together to prepare God's purposes for our lives. So number two is to identify their spiritual gifts. You've probably taken a spiritual gift inventory at one time or another, and those are not well suited for children. A lot of things in our society, we don't allow for thinking about what children would be. But I've got one here for kids that we actually use, and it's just in kid language. And I'll have some examples of, or I have some copies of that on your way out, along with a list of resources if you're interested in furthering research on this. And adults, you may need to guide them through these questions and help them as they answer them. But one of the keys is observing and knowing the children well enough to see what they're naturally drawn to or what they really have questions about. So if one of your kids, anytime you mention somebody that's sick, they're just overly concerned about them, then they may have the gift of mercy. A lot of times those gifts are hard to identify, but as you work along with them, you can see that more and more. So once you identify or have an idea of their gift, number three would be to provide opportunities to use their spiritual gifts. We as a church need to include children in a variety of service opportunities. And pastors and teachers, this is where you come in. In your churches, actively seek and create ways for kids to serve together with adults. Not just by themselves, but together with adults. And this can be simple as passing out the church bulletins or standing at the door as a family and greeting people. So it's not just the adults that are standing at the door as greeters, but it's children with them. They can sing in the worship service. You've seen many of those video clips of children, and it's a delight for many parents to see their kids up on stage singing, but they can, I know some three-year-olds that can lead worship awesomely. And even young kids can bring cans and pack bags for the food pantry. They could draw pictures or write letters to people that are in the hospital. You could train the older kids to teach the younger kids, and those younger kids look up to the older kids. So these are just a few ideas to get you started. But please allow children to be involved in the fabric of your churches. Make a way for them to serve. And as they serve, they continue to discover and develop their spiritual gifts. And this helps grow their faith and helps them become strong and mature. And they need to see that they're needed and that they belong as part of the church today, not just when they graduate and go off to college, where we tend to lose a lot of them. But if you make them part of the church now, they feel like, that's my church, I'm needed, I belong. And so that's part of what we want to do, is help them to increase their faith and stretch and grow. And in doing that, we help them open them up to a lifetime of service. I have a lot of kids in my former, as a children's director, that are still serving in church today. So I would love to see that happen in more and more churches. Now, what if that doesn't happen? Verse 14 talks about us, individuals and children, being infants. And he describes a sea storm as if we were on a ship with no moorings, tossed back and forth, blown here and there. This is a great picture of the upheaval in our society today. Giving them opportunities to serve helps them know that they have a stronghold. They have an opportunity to be involved in service. And so we need to help our children. We need to know for ourselves first, and then for our children, how to navigate those tidal waves. That sound teaching that he mentions in verse 15 prepares us for service and gives us the anchor that we need. And as a result, we grow up into the head that is Christ. In other words, we become more like him. Okay, maybe you're thinking, oh, I'm not going to be a pastor and teacher, so I'm off the hook, right? Some of you might be thinking that. Or you might be thinking, children are not my thing. I thought that for a lot of years before I had nieces and nephews. Or I'm single, I don't have kids of my own. But here's what I would say to each one of you, speaking to you in love, speaking the truth in love. Are you a parent or a grandparent? Are you an uncle or an aunt? Are you part of the church family? At church dedications, we agree to help our parents help their children grow up in the faith. So maybe you don't have children of your own, but you know people that do have children. I think we all know people that do have children. So what I would say is take time to get to know them and encourage them in their spiritual gifts. And you'll be blessed by that. Each year during our missions conference, we have what we call WEC Kids, Kids Conference, where we teach children about God's heart for the world. The mission project this year was Heart House, a local ministry to refugee children. So what we did for our kids is explain to them first what a refugee is, so that they would understand that. And we had them imagine what it would be like to have to leave your home with all of your belongings left behind, your toys, your clothes, and move to a new country and learn a new language and go to a new school. So we had them imagine that. And then we told them we wanted to help buy school supplies for them. And they can identify with that, give them something they can identify with. And we gave them a goal of $1,000, which scared me a little bit. It was more than we had ever raised before. But we gave them that goal and we set them loose. And if you were here this spring, children were all over campus collecting money. we just said, have at it. And so I want to tell you about a family, some girls that did this, and want you to hear their story from their perspective.
Hi, I'm Isabel.
And I'm 8 years old.
Hi, I'm Lydia, and I'm 10 years old.
Hi, I'm Audrey, and I'm 12 years old.
Kids, if they want to, that they can serve in any type of way that they would like to, because they're still as capable as adults are.
What I'd say is in the Bible verse 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. I'd say that to them. Because I could be any age and I could still help in the community. I could be as old as I am right now and help out with 4-year-olds at our church.
Kids can help out wherever, whenever they want to.
and in any different way that they can communicate it.
Kids can have a greater impact if they talk to other kids, trying to tell them about God, because they can really just tell them and talk to them more about it and get them more engaged because they're both kids.
We're raising it for Heart House, and that's an organization who helps refugees in the area. We wanted to raise money, so they can get school supplies and other stuff that they might be able to need. Wasn't it $1,000? Yeah, it was $1,000.
We had set a goal to raise money, and we hit that goal, and then we raised more than that.
So these three girls raised, yes. These three girls raised $300 on their own. Out of all of the kids all together, they raised over $2,300. After we counted all the pennies and quarters and dollars and everything. So, and I think that God delights in blowing off the doors of goals of $1,000 when we don't have faith of our own, but kids do. Verse 16 describes the whole body being joined and held together. As I read this, I see children joined together with adults, forming the whole body. I don't see any age restrictions. We are instructed to support and build each other up in the growing process. Children learn from adults, and adults learn from children. And the body grows and matures and looks more like Christ when each part does its work. So what I would encourage you today is to remove those unintended age restrictions and allow children to use their spiritual gifts and serve as a vital part of the body of Christ today. Thank you.